Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. American Family Radio, our website is afr.net. Did you know that you can listen on the internet, Ed, to American Family Radio anytime you want to?
I hear that's true. You can even listen on your iPad or your iPhone. You just have to download the app. But you can go to afr.net on your computer, and you can listen anywhere in the world, really.
Yeah, we have a lot of people who listen on their, as you say, iPhones, iPads, anywhere you have the internet, you can listen. So a lot of people are taking advantage of that. You're no longer just reliant on radio signals, although we have, the vast majority of people who listen to us listen on our radio stations
right
across the country. By the way, and we'll be giving you more of an update on this maybe the next day or two. We haven't trumpeted this enough, but we are now on the air in Culpeper, Virginia, with a radio signal that reaches into Northern Virginia and the District of Columbia, suburbs and such. And we're going to be getting a radio signal, too, that soon will cover all of, if everything works out according to plan, all of the District of Columbia. But our big station that we've been talking about
right
for a year is on the air, and we're thrilled about it. So we're reaching into our nation's Washington, D.C. area right now.
And that was not easy. When you talk about red tape,
right,
and you talk about having to jump through hoops.
I know.
But we are glad. I mean, we're thankful to the Lord, thankful to those who gave when we raised money for that. That was one of those opportunities that God just seemed to drop into our lap. And I mean, to be able to reach, people say, well, Northern Virginia, that's not D.C. Well, we're hopefully reach all of D.C.
Right.
But a lot of people who work in D.C., who work in the government, who work in the federal government, they live in Northern Virginia. So you catch those people going to and from work as well as maybe at their homes and maybe...
you know what? I heard a statistic the other day that five of the top seven wealthiest counties in America surround our nation's capital.
I've heard that as well. Yeah, so that's
something wrong about that. I don't know what it is exactly.
Either people are getting rich working for the government or rich people live around there and influence what's going on in the government.
If you're listening to us in that area and you are rich, you need to support American Family Radio. That's what we're opposed.
We're not socialists on this station.
No.
If you make your money legally and you're rich, good for you.
Right, but send some of it to us here because we're a nonprofit radio network trying to do good, spread the Christian message across the country, American Family Radio. Anyway, that's good to know. Check us out on the internet at afr.net. Download the app. Listen anywhere in the country to American Family Radio. By the way, our refreshment area out there in our studios.
Yeah.
I thought we were supposed to be promoting healthy eating habits. Remember our HR came around a couple of years ago and said, we're going to establish an area where you can go get healthy foods during the work day.
Right.
So that you don't, go to the candy vending machine, get candy. But I'm just noticing that's slipping back there as far as the healthiness.
There's quite a bit of backsliding. In fact, I must admit last week.
There are cupcakes out there on the healthy food table, Ed. That's what I'm saying. I walked by there a while ago and I went, something doesn't seem right about this.
Well, now that's, you mean there's some free food. Sometimes people bring in food, but it's,
we shouldn't be tempting each other,
There's a whole lot of tempting going on.
Yeah,
I was about to confess that last week I bought a couple of bags of those Cheez-Its. Which
on the healthy food
in the healthy food thing.
That's what I'm saying. Who's overseeing that back there?
I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, man. I got to have my Cheez-Its sometimes.
It looks really strange to have a granola bar sitting there with an apple, and then right beside it is a cupcake. You know what I'm saying?
And those granola bars are from like 6 months ago. Nobody's buying. I have no idea.
Okay.
I have no idea.
I didn't know if I was the only one who noticed that.
I know. I have noticed it, but you noticed I didn't say anything.
Well, we haven't talked amongst ourselves about it.
Right.
I think because people.
If there's a bag of Cheez-Its and an apple.
Right. You're going Cheez-It?
And I've got, you know, 50 cents. I'm going with Cheez-Its. I'm sorry. That's, you know.
That's not a good example for the children of America yet.
And it's not a good example for the other
staff
people,
members either. Staff You're supposed members. To be a leader.
Well, that's why when I do buy the bag of Cheez-Its, I put it in my pocket.
Okay.
And I close my office door while I eat them. Okay. And I take them out of the bag so it doesn't make much noise.
Are Cheez-Its those little crackers?
Those little square
yeah,
orange
crackers. They are good.
They are good.
Little cheddar, taste.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jeff sold you.
Yeah, they are good. I admit,
free advertising. If you're listening, the Nabisco, you could send a little donation to American Family Radio.
That's what I'm talking about. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. All right, we have our next guest and topic to cover. Please,
introduce. Well, we're going to be talking about healthy eating with our next guest. No, that's not
true.
It's
been a while since we did that.
Attorney Michael Berry, who's Director of Military Affairs for First Liberty Institute, which is a legal organization that defends religious freedom. And we're going to discuss one of the burning hot topic cases that First Liberty is dealing with. Michael, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Burning hot topic.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to talk about Tony Robbins.
So how do you fall, Michael, on the issue? Where do you come down on the issue of Apple or a bag of Cheez-Its?
you could probably ask my colleagues here at First Liberty Institute. That's probably a better question for them. But I will just say there is an organic apple sitting on my desk as we speak.
Okay.
An organic apple.
Organic.
Just an average
apple. As opposed to artificial.
Right.
I think I'm the resident foodie here.
Okay.
Hey, tell us about this case. By the way, what does First Liberty do, your organization? And then tell us about this case involving Oscar Rodriguez.
Sure. Thanks. First Liberty is the largest legal organization in the country dedicated to restoring religious freedom for all Americans. So we take cases in churches, schools, the public arena, and in the military. And on that topic of the military, that really is our latest case, our latest client that made national headlines last week, and that's the case of Oscar Rodriguez.
What happened to him? Who is he?
Well, Oscar Rodriguez is a veteran of the Air Force. He retired after 33 years of service to this nation, and he developed somewhat of a reputation in the Travis Air Force Base area, in the Northern California area, just north, kind of sandwiched in between San Francisco and Sacramento. And Oscar has a long history of performing what I would call these stirring and patriotic flag-folding speeches. He's done this over 100 times. He's done it at military events. He's done it at civic and community events. I mean, like, you know, minor league baseball games, the California State Fair, et cetera. And so he's become somewhat of a mini celebrity in that area for doing this flag-folding speech, which is, again, very patriotic, very much of a, you know, love of God and country type of speech. And when a guy by the name of Chuck Roberson, Master Sergeant Chuck Roberson, was retiring back in April, he had recently seen Oscar do this at somebody else's retirement about a month prior. He was so moved by Oscar's speech that he personally sought out Oscar, who he only knew just kind of by reputation, had never really met him personally, but he sought him out and he said, you know, Oscar, I saw what you did for my buddy at his retirement. I thought it was the best thing, the coolest thing I've ever seen. Nobody has the passion that you do for the flag and for our country, and it would mean so much to me and my family if you would do that at my retirement. And Oscar, being a good airman, you know, a good wingman, so to speak, said, absolutely, I'd be honored to do that. It'd be my privilege. Well, as Chuck began planning his retirement, his commanding officer found out that Chuck had invited Oscar, was planning to have Oscar come do this speech, and the commanding officer told Chuck that he did not want Oscar to be there or to perform the speech. And somehow, I don't know the details of this aspect of the story, but somehow the commanding officer found out that he didn't really have the authority to prevent Oscar from physically being there. And I guess that got under his skin a little bit, and he decided that, well, he issued an order that Oscar was not to perform the speech. Now, this speech that Oscar does is a he's kind of personalized it a little bit, but it is very similar to what many people refer to as the traditional flag folding speech, one that's been around for years, but one that the Air Force changed back in 2005. They actually changed they had a regulation that they amended to remove any references to God or religion from this particular flag folding speech. But the problem is there are a lot of people in the Air Force who've been around a lot longer than 2005 and said, you know, I want the one that they had back when I was a young airman, you know, the one that I've heard many, many times, and that's the one that Oscar traditionally gives. So his speech makes reference to God about 6 times. You know, it says, God bless the flag, God bless our troops, God bless our military, may God bless America, you know, et cetera. And the commanding officer, like I said, well, that's not an official Air Force approved flag folding speech. And so he basically banned Oscar from giving this speech. Well, you know, to make a long story short, Chuck Roberson told Oscar, he said, I still want you to give that speech because I feel like it's my retirement. This is my, you know, in front of my family and my loved ones and my friends. And it would mean a lot to us if you gave that speech. And Oscar said, well, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to honor you and your career. And Oscar got about 3 words into his speech. And folks can go to firstliberty.org and see the video that we've published there that was taken of this of Chuck Roberson's retirement. And you'll see that Oscar gets about 3 words into his speech when these uniformed airmen approach him, they physically grab him, and they forcibly drag him out of that retirement ceremony.
That's just stunning, and anybody who sees the video, I've seen it, will be stunned to see this happen in America. Let me ask you this. Now, Oscar Rodriguez, is he currently in the military? I know he's a 33.
No.
Okay.
No, he retired in 2013.
Okay. A 33-year Air Force veteran. So now my understanding is, in reading about this, that flag folding ceremonies, retirement ceremonies, they're very personal, and a great degree of latitude is given for people to be able to have the kind of retirement ceremony they want. Is that true? I mean, is this something that was just on this base, that this particular officer overseeing that base, the commanding officer, just, you know, had a burr in his saddle? Other bases allow God to be mentioned? How does that play out across the board?
Well, I mean, I think it helps to start from the top, right? The Constitution is very clear that private citizens have the right to free speech, the right of religious expression and religious exercise. And certainly you don't give up free exercise of religion when you join the military.
Right.
You still retain your religious freedom. Mm-hmm. And that being said, Oscar is no longer in the military, so that, you know, he still has the First Amendment right. So the law is clear, you know, and we've got the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. We've got other federal laws that ensure that we retain our constitutional rights in this country. And so the law is clear on this. The problem is that I think, as you identified, this commanding officer here, Lieutenant Colonel Michael Savitsky is his name, I guess he didn't care what the law says. And, you know, he issued this order that Oscar is not going to, you know, physically be present, and or he's not going to give this speech. And when the men under his charge, they carried out that order. Now, what I don't know, nobody that I've spoken to knows for sure whether Savitsky, immediately prior to the retirement celebration, in essence, issued a direct order to his men, hey, if Oscar gets up and starts speaking, take him out. Or if this was kind of something that had been discussed previous to that, but there was never a direct order issued, and these airmen in uniform who did this basically took matters into their own hands and said, well, you know, we know the CO doesn't want Oscar to do this, so we're just going to go ahead and carry it out. But either way, that does not absolve the commander of his legal and ethical and moral obligation to follow the law. So, you know, in my opinion, all the responsibility and blame lies with this commander, because He was sitting right there in the front row. He saw it happening, and he was the one with the power and the obligation to stop this assault on Oscar Rodriguez.
So now I have read some articles about this case in preparation for this interview. Is it true that the Air Force has issued some preliminary statements upholding the right of the religious freedom right and free exercise right of Air Force, you know, retirees? Is that something that's happened?
Yeah, they simply repeated what I initially said in our demand letter, which was, look, as a private citizen, Oscar has the right to engage in religious speech if he wants to, or if he does so at the request of a retiree, because these retirement ceremonies are not official ceremonies. They are private ceremonies, and they're not official military ceremonies, is what I mean. And the fact that there happen to be people in uniform attending does not convert them into a military ceremony. And the Air Force right. recognized that. You know, exactly what I laid out in our demand letter is what the Air Force simply acknowledged to be true. And then they said, and oh, by the way, you know, if a retiree wants to have somebody up there to give a speech that happens to mention religion, it's their discretion. If they want to have that, then they're free to have that. So, I wouldn't necessarily call it that the Air Force is saying anything new or unknown. That's exactly the argument I made as to why this should never have happened.
So what are your demands as you represent Oscar Rodriguez? What do you want to see happen?
Well, we're demanding four things. And first, they need to acknowledge that what happened was wrong, which they still haven't done yet. They simply said, here's our policy. But acknowledging your policy is not the same as acknowledging that we violated that policy. Right. So they need to do that. Number two, they need to apologize to Oscar for what happened to him, for what people in the United States Air Force in uniform did to him. And number three, they need to give us assurances and promises that this will never happen again to Oscar under these circumstances, meaning if he's invited to give a flag-folding speech, he will not be dragged away
right.
if he gets up to give the flag-folding speech, whether it mentions God or not. And fourth, and probably most importantly here, we've asked the Air Force to hold accountable those that it determines are responsible for violating Oscar's rights.
Okay. Well, our guest has been Attorney Michael Berry, who's Director of Military Affairs for First Liberty Institute. Michael, please make sure you keep us up to date and up to speed on this case. It really is, I got to say, it's a frightening thing to see men in military uniforms execute an action like this against somebody simply because they're speaking and they're saying the name of God. It was creepy. I got to say, it's creepy because it just gives the impression that the military, at least in this case, was used against an American citizen over the issue of religion. It's chilling to mm-hmm. watch that happen.
What the First Liberty, that's the organization that you are an attorney for. You guys handle First Amendment issues like this to help the Christians who are under siege across the country and from...
Yes, we defend religious freedom for all Americans.
Right.
Religious freedom really is our first freedom as Americans. It was in the First Amendment. It's the first clause of the First Amendment. And our founding fathers did that for a reason, because they understood that if the government, which is exactly the point we were just making here, if the government can take away our religious freedom, they can take away all of our freedoms. And so that's why we exist, is to ensure that Americans retain religious freedom to the fullest extent that the Constitution contemplates. Mm-hmm. And if folks want to learn more about this case or specifically how they can also get behind Oscar and let him know personally, hey, you know, we support you. What you did was a great thing, and we're so thankful for your stand for religious freedom, because it really will end up protecting the religious freedom of so many. They can sign a letter of support to Oscar at standwithoscar.com. And it's very easy to do, and you just we'll make sure that Oscar gets all those letters of support so that he knows that he's not alone.
Hey, I know this isn't your case, but Liberty you guys are formerly known as Liberty Institute.
Right.
Now you're called First Liberty. Whatever happened to the case with the football coach in the Seattle area? High school coach.
Actually, that is our case.
It is but I mean, I don't think you're the lead attorney on that case, but it is your.
Actually, I am, but that's.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, you're not any longer because I just. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to be wrong. No, I'm glad I'm wrong. I'm glad you corrected me on that. So, Michael, tell us where that stands. We've got about 3 minutes here.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm glad you asked about Coach Joe Kennedy.
Yes.
He was, you know, just to summarize really quick, you know, he was basically fired from his position as a football coach at Bremerton High School outside of Seattle because after the football games, he would take a knee for about 30 seconds or less and quietly, I mean, silently, you couldn't
right.
even hear him. He would give a prayer of thanksgiving for player safety, for good sportsmanship.
He did this on his own. Yeah, on his own. He didn't require the players to be there or anything like that. He did this on his own, but somebody found out about it.
Correct. And actually, the somebody who found out was a local school administrator who paid a compliment to his principal and said, hey, I think that's fantastic because it seems to bring the guys together after the football. You know, they battled it out for 60 minutes as enemies, and now they're united.
Right.
And as you said, this is something that he does on his own. He doesn't have to. He doesn't. Makes no difference to him at all whether there are other people around him when he does it. It's his personal relationship and covenant with
right.
God that he's engaging in. Well, the school district fired him. We represent Coach Kennedy, and we are still awaiting actually action by in response to our EEOC discrimination complaint that we filed. So that's the Equal Employment Opportunity mm-hmm. Commission. That's the federal agency that handles cases of discrimination in the workplace. So we filed a discrimination complaint against the school district, and we're still waiting for them to give us their response.
What's the deal with that? What you're talking about a guy who's kneeling to pray voluntarily after a game. He's assistant coach, right?
That's right.
He was an assistant football coach, so he has his tradition of praying after a game on his own, doesn't compel, none of the players are compelled to be there. And so this, I just don't understand how a guy could get in trouble for that legally. That just is unbelievable.
Well, you made two very important points there that I'll touch on really quick. Is number one, the school district, and this should help answer any potential naysayers, the school district has already conceded. They told us in their own words, there have never been any complaints. Kennedy's been a coach since 2008. He's done this since 2008. All right, so he's been doing it since he started coaching there. Not a single complaint in that time. Number two, the school district itself conceded. No player has ever been required or coerced into participating.
Yeah.
They did an investigation. They said nobody's ever been told you got to go pray with coach or anything like that.
Yeah.
In fact, the students asked him, hey, coach, can we join you if
yeah.
we want to? He said it's a free country. You can do whatever you want.
That's
well,
right.
It used to be a free country.
Yeah. Well, Michael, we're out of time. What is your website where people can read more about this?
FirstLiberty.org.
FirstLiberty.org. Michael Berry, and a senior counsel and director of military affairs. Thank God for groups like First Liberty who are in courts fighting for religious freedom.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, and whenever we can talk to Coach, would you let us know? Because we really want to do that.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, we.
I know you lawyers put a muzzle on your clients oftentimes. But anyway, we're out of time. Folks, have a great day. Keep listening to American Family Radio.